Sports Radio 610 presents Mad Radio with Mike Meltzer, Seth Payne, and Paul Gallant.
Mad Radio, Paul Gallant, Seth Payne, and the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer, in the house. Mike Meltzer is on vacation. Okay, so the Houston Astros are taking on the Boston Red Sox this
weekend. Yeah, they are.
Vandy, you've been in Boston. I've been in Boston before. Mm-hmm. This is an interesting group of people. It is an annoying group of people during a time like this when the Red Sox or any of the teams that are from that area have won something. There's a lot of sticking your chest out, and it is a little bit over the top.
It's so unbecoming, really, for that. You know, when I lived there, it's funny because I look back on the era when I lived there as completely different because it was. You know, the Celtics were great. The Red Sox had the 86 collapse. The Patriots had the 85 meltdown in the Super Bowl against the Bears. And I lived there in the western part of the state in the 90s a little bit. So I had left by the time the Patriots got great, the Red Sox won, you know, the whole resurgence.
I actually had left as well. I moved to Florida in 2003. Yeah. So I've been away from that for a while as well.
I actually, the Patriots with Steve Grogan and those guys, I actually like those teams, all right? And Bledsoe a little bit too. I hate them so much right now. Like, I can't, my body is contorting right now as I say this. The hatred within me for the New England Patriots, it's all jealousy and bitterness and all that. I respect them, but I hate them like poison.
Yeah.
And I want them to stop, and I want Brady to retire immediately, and I want it all to end. It must end.
This is the hard thing about the New England fan base for any of the New England sports. It's that for a long time, they had a loser's mentality because all their teams lost. I mean, the Patriots were nothing. Like, you had Steve
Grogan
wearing a neck
brace. They were the worst
franchise
in sports.
And just, the Patriots were nothing. The Red Sox were the, oh, woe is me. The fan base was just talking about how they're cursed all the time, and they just couldn't win, and it was awful. And it kind of fit the spirit of the region, where so many manufacturing jobs had left. Everybody was angry all the time. Like, that's just, I don't know what is it about Massachusetts. Like, they're called massholes, and it's so fitting, because, like, they're just angry and aggressive
all
the time.
There's a crankiness.
But it kind of fit. When all of a sudden, all their franchises started winning in this century, it became a real toxic blend of, like, that maintained negativity and aggressiveness, but now
with winning,
and they turned into King Joffrey. Like, it's a region full of King Joffreys. It's a region full of, like, privileged princes with no sense of morality or sanity or anything else like that. It's terrifying, frankly.
Even worse than King Joffrey, because they have an inferiority complex about them still.
Right.
And that
being disrespected, that you're not talking enough about us, that whole thing. And a lot of fan bases have this kind of thing. Like, they don't respect us. Come on, give me a break. You know, I used to live three blocks from Fenway Park, okay? So for me, there's a lot of nostalgia about that. If you can, you know, I'd still like to take my kid to go to Fenway Park. There's something very special about that whole area. But it's very different now. You know, 86, okay? When they had that World Series with the Mets, that changed everything there. Fenway Park, before that, you could show up on game day and get bleacher tickets on a lot of days.
Mm-hmm.
Forget about that now. I mean, bleacher seats were $5 when I was going to college there. We'd go sit in the bleachers and yell at Willie Wilson in center field. You know, we'd do stuff like that. You can't do it anymore, but that's great. It's get off my lawn time.
Fenway Park, look, history, overrated experience. The toilet's disgusting. The seats.
But
you
that's
don't...
part of the charm, Paul. It's disgusting. The seats are angled improperly. Minute Maid Park is, I always said, when I first got here, I said, oh, bring the New England fans to Minute Maid Park, and they'll say, okay, I get it. Let's get a new stadium.
Yes.
Immediately.
Yes.
But the fact that Fenway Park still exists means you got to go see that. Major League Baseball is still played at a facility this crappy, and they win there.
It's so bad. Mark, I can't fit in the seats there. I'm a skinny guy.
If you can't fit, forget about
it. Yeah,
It's awful. Like, if you have a heavyset person sitting in, let's say, right center,
You're never leaving. You're just going
to
be stuck there for life.
Get a paramedics team to get you out of that seat.
It's not ideal. Hopefully the Astros take care of business this weekend. This is going to be a fun weekend. I'm very excited for it. But look, it's going to be tough. Boston's finally playing well. And the Astros are playing great. 8 wins in a row. Okay, Scottie Pippen made a lot of headlines earlier this week. Mad Radio, Paul Gallant, Seth Payne, Mark Vandermeer, where he said that people in Houston are bred in a way where it's just, like, not that competitive, where we're accepting of regular season wins, where we just, I guess, don't get that worked up over not getting to a championship. And I'm curious, Mark, if you feel like what Scottie Pippen said, which I'm guessing he meant it to apply to Rockets mm-hmm. fans. That's his experience mm-hmm. in Houston as a member of the Houston Rockets. Do you feel like that's also something that he's applying to the Texans fans as well?
Well, he said Houston fans, but I think he was talking about basketball only.
I think he was specific on that
look,
one.
We
yeah.
know that the Texans fans are not happy when the, for instance, after the Colts game in the playoffs, not exactly thrilled with the result of that one.
It's a very cynical fan base. I at times when especially after games like that. Yes,
I mean, look, the Houston fans are passionate about their. The Rockets do very well. They are a tremendous organization. The Texans are obviously a tremendous organization. They're one of the top 20 most valuable sports franchises in the world. Look at the other teams in the top 20. They've all won multiple championships and been around a long time. The Texans have not. But they do business right, and they live in a great market. They take care of the fans as much as they possibly can, despite results on the field that don't always go their way, okay? Now, here's the thing. They had a good season last year with 11 wins, but the playoff result was so painful to everybody. We heard the backlash. Still are hearing the backlash about it. The thing is this, though. It's very different when you have a southern market. I don't care where it is. Anything below the Mason-Dixon line, I'm just using that, you know, as a rough guideline here. It's just different. Like, Florida's different. Atlanta's different. California's different. Anything in the south, warm weather areas. We're in Philadelphia. Every seat had a butt in it 10 minutes before kickoff. We couldn't believe it. You know, you go up there, a big game late in the season, they're going to be, I think, a warm weather environment, it's a little bit different. Yeah, you're going to sell out. Yeah, they'll eventually get there. But it's nice out, okay? You know, Lopez said, I heard Lopez's take about how Houston we're laid back. We're a laid back city compared to a lot of these northern towns. Absolutely. There's so much more to do here. We are laid back. We're friendlier and everything. But I don't think there's a lack of passion. I think it's just expressed differently.
The part that I don't quite understand about Pippen's take, and maybe I'm just trying way too hard. Even if I were outside the city of Houston and I just wanted to try to analyze that, like, how am I supposed to decide whether teams or fan bases are happy with regular season success?
Is it riots?
Is it all of a sudden a sign? Is it a good sign if people don't show up to watch games in the regular season? Like, should I be watching for a team that, okay, now if the Rockets lost in the right. playoffs, now I want to see one of the worst attendance records in the league next year. Like, is that a good fan base according to Scottie Pippen?
Isn't the beauty of the NFL that week three is so monumentally huge? Like, every week, I always say this, every week feels like the NCAA tournament, the NFL. I mean, every week you're glued to your seat, not just your team, all the teams. The action's unbelievable. You know, I love the NBA. I really do. I'm a fan of basketball. But let's be honest, like, November is not that big. You know, it just doesn't have that feeling like you're seeing what you saw last night and last week. So to me, that's the beauty of football. Regular season does mean something. It absolutely does, and that's why we enjoy it.
You know what? I'm going through back old attendance figures, like, mm-hmm. all through the 2000s, and I'm going to say this. I think the Bulls might be the worst fan base in the league because even in years where they don't have success, they're always in the top two in attendance.
Dumbs.
So they clearly only care about the regular season.
Bunch of morons.
This is really, really pathetic, Scottie Pippen, that the Bulls are always up there even when they have bad teams.
You know, I disagree with Pippen's take if we're applying it to the Texans, and I'm not sure that he necessarily was, but, I mean, it was such a strange dynamic when the team was on the roll that it was, where we were nitpicking every single win. I know that we did from time to time, but it felt like the fan base was as well. And
you're not winning the right way.
Right, it's like,
it wasn't by enough.
I mean, because I remember going into last year, I thought, okay, this is like a two-year process. Whatever comes this season, the 2019-2020 mm-hmm. season, this is really what we're expecting to see, like, big-time results. And then this past season, I mean, they overachieved.
Based on a lot of people's preseason projections, yes, they
right.
did.
And I mean, I'm not saying be satisfied by that, but I think, like, it's very clear, just given the way that people reacted during the regular season winning streak and given the turned-off nature after the playoff loss versus the reaction after they lost to the Ravens in the playoffs, where everyone was, like, happy. That was, like, the Pyrrhic victory.
Well, because that was the first one.
Right, but they played awesome in that game. Like,
Four turnovers, though. But I know what you mean.
TJ Yates was under center.
Defensively, they played really well.
There was an optimism going forward, and they ran the ball right down Baltimore's throat in that game. Like, there was something going forward on that, like, on that one. We all know that it's not going to get it done anymore. The regular season success. They're going to have to do something this coming season. This is why I'm going back to it again. Patrick Peterson, baby. First round pick, second round pick. I don't care.
That's going to make all the difference.
Well, Mark, it makes a big difference.
But here's the thing. And look, I'm not saying that it's a terrible idea, and you know that's up to Brian Gain to figure out. But one thing about this, we talked about Steve Keim making these short-term kind of moves for a team that really needs to rebuild with a new quarterback and everything, and you're bringing in these older guys and Terrell Suggs and all that. With the Texans, Brian Gain clearly is not doing the short-term thing.
You right. Know? Like no,
he,
not at all.
But he knows he has a team that won some games last year. Look, the schedule's a lot harder, but he's got a quarterback. He's building around it. Slow builder, strong builder. Not slow even, just solid. He wants to build it solidly and not make moves that are going to just hamstring his team. And I'm not saying Peterson would be that necessarily, but a draft pick is valuable, and he did well with them last year. Let's see how these guys turn out.
It doesn't seem like it's in his current MO to do something like that. Now, look, he did use a fourth rounder to trade for Demaryius Thomas mid-season. But it was a need, and it was in season. If you get to in season, and maybe Patrick Peterson's still out there, maybe he's still under suspension, but you've played the Saints.
That might be the best move for Keim, by the way, to wait.
And see where they're going.
See what the market
is.
Put your finger in the air.
Some
contender gets a hurt corner, and now you're going to drive up the price on Peterson.
Because you go through the first six games of the season, you've got Drew Brees,
That's what I don't like.
You've got the Chargers, you've got the Panthers, you've got the Falcons, you've got the Chiefs.
Vomit.
Those are five really good quarterbacks.
These are really tough games.
But at that point, okay, all of a sudden, maybe that becomes your Demaryius Thomas move in season, where you see what you have in your secondary, and maybe you do get a little desperate.
I think for the Cardinals, it makes a lot of sense.